Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
So as I said, the Cabinet is meeting as we speak, where Justice Minister Helen McEntee is updating her Cabinet colleagues on the policing response to last Thursday's riots in Dublin. Minister McEntee will announce a review on what supports and powers are available to Gardaí in such situations. Last night, city councillors warned the Garda Commissioner that some communities may form vigilante gangs for their own protection unless Gardaí crack down on the far right. And images circulated online last night show a number of politicians, including Mary Lou MacDonald, being confronted by protesters in Dublin over their response to those riots. Now, for more on this, we're joined by the General Secretary of the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors, Antoinette Cunningham. And I have in studio with me Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor with the Irish Independent. But Antoinette Cunningham, to you first, do you welcome this review of Garda powers and supports? As I said, Minister McEntee is briefing her Cabinet colleagues on this morning. Is that something that you're in favour of?
Good morning, Claire. Well, I suppose, look, we haven't had a lot of time to analyse what the Minister is actually proposing, but I think what the fear would be amongst the membership that I represent is we have another crisis, therefore we have another review, a kind of a typical political response. But what will actually change for the members that I represent tomorrow or the next day or the next day? And we have, as you know, Claire, been raising significant concerns with the Minister for some time. We haven't seen a really robust response from her or from government. And I'm not sure we can welcome that review. Okay. We're probably a little bit cynical about it.
So what's the alternative to her doing what she's doing this morning?
I think the Minister needs to address the very real issues that have been raised by Garda associations. It's 7 years since AGSI first passed a motion on body cams at our annual conference. It's 5 years ago since we identified that there was going to be a major recruitment and retention crisis in the organisation. Our conference highlighted those. They highlighted the need for better working conditions, more public order training, and we certainly have highlighted for many, many years the unfettered powers of GSOC that have led to prolonged investigations, Claire, that has moved the people that I represent into a state of fear to use proportionate and legitimate force, because GSOC will tie them up in investigations that affect their family and professional life for years and years and years, and nobody will make GSOC accountable for that.
So you're saying that because of that, Gardaí, in your view, are afraid to do their job?
I am absolutely saying that Gardaí now have to second guess themselves when it comes to policing in a situation where they know themselves they may have to use their force, their baton, their asp, their pepper spray. And if they do, they'll be writing on it for at least 3 months afterwards, because every single time you use that. And we support accountability, by the way, in Garda Síochána.
Well, I think everyone would want to see the Gardaí being held to account. And GSOC has to investigate in order to do that job.
Yeah, GSOC have to investigate, but they should not have unfettered powers where investigations can go on for 3 and 5 and 7 years, and there's no accountability for that, leaving the members that we represent in Garda Síochána in a state of limbo where their professional and private lives are absolutely ruined by it.
So how would you solve that problem?
Well, I think the Minister, and we've asked her this on numerous occasions, is to appoint a judge, a retired judge or a senior counsel, to move when GSOC files are longer than a year or 18 months, that they would go over there to be reviewed to say, is there a legitimate reason why this investigation is taking so long? Should it be prioritised? Is there a fairness attached to this for the member? And if there isn't, then that person should have the power to deal with that file appropriately.
Okay, now you have said before that you want to see the Gardaí issued with body cams. You've just said that you asked for that at your conference 7 years ago. What about facial recognition technology? Have you any concerns over that?
Well, facial recognition technology, the Garda Commissioner has sought that for operational use, and we support the Commissioner's view as it's an aid to operational policing. Of course, Claire, we recognise that there are issues, and the civil liberties groups and others have, and politicians have raised those legitimate concerns very well. But there's nothing there, in our view, that can't be addressed in sound, robust legislation on its use and a policy in Garda Síochána that surrounds how it's used and for what purpose it's actually used for. So the concerns around FRT are very well aired And I believe that those can be addressed to the satisfaction of everybody, but not forgetting what its purpose will be, and that is to aid policing in this country.
Disinformation online has been a huge topic since all of this happened on Thursday. Do the Gardaí have the tools needed to monitor and combat that?
Well, those are operational issues, and those are questions that need to be directed to the Garda Commissioner. And we certainly support everything that can improve operational policing and operational requirements. What we do, Claire, is we represent the very tired and weary workforce that currently exists because government have absolutely failed to address many legitimate issues that would make their working life so much better. Can I tell you, for instance, Claire, people who come up to Dublin on a regular basis to help to police in Dublin city centre get an allowance of €107 to stay in Dublin and feed themselves for a 24-hour period. Every other civil servant in this country gets €167. We've raised this with the minister 3 years ago, that our people cannot stay in Dublin when they come up to do a 12-hour shift. They either have to get into a car and drive down the country or go somewhere else because they can't get a place to sleep for €107.
So that's their overnight and subsistence rate.
Yeah. And it's €107. They cannot get a B&B in Dublin. They cannot stay here. They're sleeping in cars or moving back down the country to a place where they've already done a 12-hour shift. We've raised that with the minister at least, I'd say, 100 times in the last 3 years, and we still have no response to it. And that's the working conditions that we're under. So if you're down in Cork and you're asked to come up to assist in Dublin, not only do you have to think about the operational requirements, you have to think, I can't stay there because I can't get a place to stay for €107. So then you have another layer of worry about that. Okay. That's unacceptable.
Now, I want to ask you as well about this news, which we heard coming from this meeting between Dublin City Councillors and the Garda Commissioner, Drew Harris, last night, where he was warned that vigilante groups would be organised, they say, for their own protection. Is that a concern for the Gardaí that people might say, well, now we are going to have to take the law into our own hands here?
Well, Claire, I think all of us would know that that's outside of the rule of law and how the police is the country is policed. I mean, that is most unhelpful because what communities and the Gardaí need to do here is work collaboratively and collectively together for the greater good of peace and law and order in our city and in our country. And I think the Commissioner is the one to comment on that. It's an operational matter, but I think all of us would know that that's not helpful.
Yeah, but if that were to happen, it will be your members who have to deal with it.
Well, if that were to happen, we'll have an operational commander on site who will direct our members accordingly what course of action to take. But we have sought further meetings. We had a meeting with the Garda Commissioner on Saturday morning where we provided some positive and constructive feedback, all of us did. So if these operational matters are going to be an issue for our members, will be instructed accordingly by Garda Management.
All right, Antoinette Cunningham, thank you for joining us from the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors. Fionn Sheehan in the studio listening to all of that. So we've a lot to get through on the political side and the policing side. The videos we have seen circulating from last night, now it's not the first time that politicians have been confronted, it's happening across the board with all the main political parties, but how much concern is there amongst the political parties at what's happening?
Well, you see the leader of the opposition having to be escorted from a meeting that she was attending as a public representative in her constituency.
And this was last night.
Last night in East Wall. And she needs basically assistance from Angara Síochána in order to move away from there. So her freedom of movement was being restricted by protesters. It's not the first time TDs and Sinn Féin have seen such types of protests. Donal Colíra's office was being picketed. Desi Ellis's office was being picketed during the summer. That's Cork and Dublin, and other TDs will say the same. So these protesters, whether that you can label them far right or anti-immigrant or local activists, whatever they are specifically targeting TDs from across the board who they say are supporting migration policy. And to be fair, to the opposition parties. That is the one area you really cannot criticise the solidarity of parties like Sinn Féin in supporting the government in terms of current migration policy, welcoming refugees and trying to ensure that the state can match up in terms of providing resources.
Mm-hmm. Now, moving on to what's going to happen today. So we have the cabinet meeting, which is on at the moment. Then in the Dáil later, there'll be statements on yeah. what happened on Thursday. Will the Minister for Justice be taking questions?
Yeah, I doubt it, to be honest, which there'll be a row about that later on. So first off, you'll have the Taoiseach taking normal leaders' questions today. Mary Lou McDonald will be leading that off on behalf of Sinn Féin. So presumably she will be raising the issue of last Thursday's events and the response to it, and the Taoiseach gets his chance to respond then. Then thereafter in the afternoon, you do have the statements for 3 hours. The Minister for Justice will be leading that off, and opposition spokespersons will have their response. There will be a significant row beforehand about whether the Minister will be taking questions and why isn't she taking questions mm-hmm. and what's stopping her from taking questions and so on. And that'll end up with probably some form of a response from the minister at the end of that. Tomorrow, though, the Minister for Justice is actually the one in the hot seat, in the Taoiseach seat, taking leaders' questions, because he's going to the COP negotiations in Dubai. So she will be facing questions then. So she's also in the Shannon in the next 24 hours as well. There is an invite to an Oireachtas committee, but she's also up in the Dáil tomorrow night on the body cam legislation, which is going through the final stages. Mm. So it's not as if she's not going to be in the Dáil, but in terms of, there will be a procedural row today, no doubt about
and
that.
Sinn Féin had said they would wait to hear from the Taoiseach and from the Minister for Justice before they decide on any motion of no confidence. But you think, do you, that the government would welcome a motion of no confidence?
Well, they probably, I mean, very often a government is in a position where if a minister is under pressure, the best possible thing that can happen is to have a motion of confidence put down. The government gets to go out and rally the cause around that minister, shoot down the motion, and basically it's then decided by the Dáil that this that the Dáil has confidence in the minister, mm-hmm. full stop. There'll also be a welcome on government's part if Sinn Féin were the party to put down this motion. There's plenty of issues that Fine Gael TDs and ministers would love to bring up about Sinn Féin's record on law and order, going back everything from the provisional IRA's murder of Gardaí right up to the Jonathan Dowdall investigation. So it's not without its risk. And Sinn Féin did enter this zone earlier on in the year where Pascal Donoghue got in trouble, rightly, over undeclared donations. Sinn Féin was piling on the pressure and they ended up being the party themselves under the spotlight about their own party finances. So there are considerations there from Sinn Féin's part. You also have to bear in mind it's still an evolving situation yeah. in terms of policing, so they do have to be cautious. But if you're stating you have no confidence in a minister, your democratic obligation then is to go to the Dáil, put down a motion and let the Dáil decide.
And do all of the members of the government have confidence in Helen McEntee? Because the reporting of the weekend was suggesting that certainly within Fianna Fáil there were doubts.
Yeah, certainly within Fianna Fáil there were doubts. And if you go prior to last Thursday, there was certainly people in Fine Gael privately saying that they weren't exactly bowled over by the minister's performance in the job up until now. And that was around issues like law and order and policing in urban areas, to the track record of passing legislation. Also, they've basically seen that the opposition are gaining ground in an area that is supposed to be Fine Gael's strong point.
Yeah, but this is why for Fine Gael, winning a motion of no confidence is not the be all and end all.
No, no,
because this is their thing. Yeah, law and order is Fine Gael's thing.
Also, you got to bear in mind 12 years of Fine Gael ministers for justice. So no other party during those three terms in government has had the justice portfolio. So anything that, any criticism that can be directed in terms of Garda numbers, resourcing of Gardaí, adequate legislation being in place, or even being specific on what force that Gardaí can use can all be directed back at Fine Gael and say, this was on your watch. Let's bear in mind as well, the Taoiseach doesn't want to lose a third Minister for Justice during Fine Gael's time in office since 2011. Helen McAtee is very much a protege of his. So there's a lot of political investment that he has here as well. So Fine Gael will, all the Fine Gael cabinet ministers have been out over the course of the weekend defending Helen McAtee. And you'd imagine that will be the same over the coming days. But I mean, even your previous conversation, the fact she's now, the Minister for Justice is now going to the policing authority only now, asking them to clarify when and how is it appropriate for Gardaí to use force in order to police demonstrations, does kind of show a bit of a lax attitude here and not really an appreciation of how serious the situation was beginning. If you talk to Gardaí, they'll say the same about other areas. The pursuit of criminals at high speed, evading capture in the course of Gardaí investigating crime. Same issue there. And you can go across the board in terms of recruitment, in terms of Garda numbers, in terms of even promotions at the highest echelons of the Gardaí. We've seen that there are a wide panoply of problems within on Garda Síochána, and people are now saying, look, it all came to a head last Thursday night.
Okay, and we've another Fine Gael TD stepping down.
Yeah.
Fergus O'Dowd announced he's not going to contest the next general election. How many is that now?
I think we're at 8 now at this point, and people are saying he's not the last.
Yeah.
Now he is on the older no disrespect, but he's on the old. It was expected that Fergus would be considering whether he would run again, given his age. He's not one of the younger guys. There is a kind of ready-made replacement in that Senator John McGahan, who has a long track record in County Louth, so he'll slot in as the candidate on the ticket. So it's not like other situations like Brendan Griffin and Joe McHugh, where there's no obvious replacement. But we are still expecting that there will be more, and it's followed on from Francis Fitzgerald and Deirdre Clune standing down. So very much a kind of a changing of the guard, that generation of people who were there going back to John Bruton. Simon probably went through their best years under Enda Kenny, now stepping aside and retiring.
And on the Fianna Fáil side, Barry Cowan announcing his intention to run for Europe. Do we know how Micheál Martin feels about this?
Yeah, this is the difficulty, because if you saw the recent Fianna Fáil Ardèche, Lisa Chambers was pretty much attached to Micheál Martin's shoulder.
Yeah.
Throughout it, a bit more, you know, I never saw Lee Keegan marking somebody as closely as she was throughout that event. Lisa Chambers was the chosen leadership candidate. They were going to need a second candidate anyway, and it's not a bad thing to have two well-known figures within the party going forward. They made a hames of the last European elections, came out with no seat in Ireland, Midlands, North West. You'd expect that this time they will be going for a seat, and all the better if there's intense competition on their own ticket. That tends to drive up interest in your campaign and the amount of votes that you get. It worked a treat, for example, for Mairead McGuinness and Avril Doyle over several elections. So if you have two high profile candidates and they're both going all out to win a seat, that's not a bad position for Fianna Fáil to be in.
Right, Fionnán, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much, Fionnán Sheehan there, and we'll keep an eye on developments. If anything emerges from Cabinet, we will of course bring it to you. Coming up next though, UK detection of the first human case of the new swine flu strain. Well, what does it actually mean? We'll find out after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.